Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kicking off the 4 o'clock hour, we welcome you back to Gwynn and Chris. Crisello from Las Vegas today. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Scraby at the Odyssey Palace Studios right there in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. taking a little time off before he gets ready to embark on the 2025 baseball season. Pitchers and catchers did report today in Peoria. You will hear a lot of what Mike Shildt had to say and others a little bit later in the program. And for those of you who want even more Padre coverage, don't forget after the Scraby Chronicles tonight at 6 o'clock, you got Sam Levitt's Inside Padre Baseball Show coming to you from Peoria at 7 o'clock this evening. So you will get all of the Padre news. The big baseball news, if there is such a thing today, Cal Quantrill is off the board. He has been signed by the Miami Marlins. All right, Aztecs basketball won last night in a thriller, one that the fans had all but given up on, and they were down 17 points at the half. You know, Ben Higgins was even a little negative in some of his posts on Twitter
last night. I heard you went at him on Twitter.
Well, I didn't go at him. I tried to get him to put it into perspective, which is that, you know, because he said it was the worst half of basketball he's ever seen by an Aztec team. And I tried to explain to him that that first half was something we used to see pretty much on a daily basis back in the day.
Not anymore.
But not anymore. They played a hell of a second half, though. And as we said earlier, Nick Boyd will be on the show tomorrow at about 4:20 for you Aztec basketball fans. All right, Scrape, ready to get to today's Battle of Trivia Knowledge?
I am.
Otherwise known as Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's do this. We'll tell you, if you win Chris versus the Fans, you're going to qualify for the new Las Vegas residency with Motley Crue live at Dolby, at Dolby Live at Park MGM March 28th through April 19th. You'll be qualified for a chance to win a trip to Vegas to see the show live, including two tickets to the show, plus a hotel stay at Park MGM. Get your tickets to Motley Crue, the Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM, now at Ticketmaster.com. Also, if you win, you will win a pair of tickets to the San Diego Legion home opener at Torero Stadium this Sunday. Get tickets now at sdlegion.com/tickets. Now, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you will get that question for free today. Let's start with Tara. Hello, Tara.
Hey.
Are you ready to play, Tara?
I'm ready.
Okay. Are you? Is there something else you need to tell me?
I'm a first-time player.
There we go. Thank you very much, Tara. Here we go. Question number two.
Hang on, baby. You got it.
What?
Celebrate the fact she's a first-time player.
I did. I said we're going to question number two.
Excited. Good to have
first
you with us,
time
Tara.
Playa! There you go, Chris. Are you happy now?
I'm happy.
All right, Tara. What two teams are going to be starting the Major League Baseball season in Tokyo, Japan?
Japan 2025.
Those are Google keywords.
And Tigers?
Tigers.
Dodgers and Tigers.
Sorry, stay there though. I don't know.
Tara, Chris, were you getting assistance, Tara, from somebody?
No.
Well, she said Tigers, so.
No, I was going to say, if you're getting assistance from somebody, you got to fire that person because they told you that. Dodgers, Cubs.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Tara.
Sorry, Tara. So good to have you on, though. Call again. You never can.
Whoops. I'm sorry. No, Chris is right. Jeez, sorry.
Now you're buzzing. You're beeping. You're all over the place.
I know. I always go for the first time players, but
I know
we get them knocked out sometimes, too. Thank you, Tara, for calling.
And sometimes they win.
Let's go to Wyatt. Hello, Wyatt.
Hey, Wyatt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Ah, not
very
too
good,
bad.
Sir.
You ready to play?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Let's see. What team does Bobby Witt Jr. play for?
He's on the Kansas City Royals.
That is correct. I don't know what I'm going to do, Chris, without him on my fantasy team this year. I am going to be in trouble.
I think the second question ought to be, what teams did Bobby Witt Sr. play for? That would be tougher.
I had no idea that his dad was a Major League Baseball player. So
his dad was a pitcher, actually, in the big leagues.
Oh, interesting. So his son got more athleticism than his dad. Is that right?
Son is quite a bit better than the dad.
Okay.
No doubt.
Here we go. Question number two, Wyatt. Wow, that was loud. Let's see. What 49er running back lost a fumble on the first drive of the 2024 Super Bowl in Las Vegas?
Is that Christian McCaffrey?
Unfortunately, it is. That was the beginning of the end for the 49ers. They were marching down the field, and it just didn't go well for them after that.
Marching down the
they
field.
They marched.
Listen to you.
They marched.
What'd they do? Get to their own 35?
No, they were inside the 10-yard line when he fumbled. I think he was inside the 5-yard line or fumbled at the 5. Ridiculous.
What, I can't
guess
believe
what?
You even...
He just sits out the rest of the year because, I don't know. That's what
he
does.
I can't believe you even cheer for that guy. Bobby Witt Sr., by the way, played 16 years. In the big leagues.
Well, that's a long time.
Yeah, Texas. I don't have time for all the teams.
Okay, we'll just
play for
back.
A million teams.
We'll go
mostly
back to
Texas.
Wyatt. Okay.
Yeah, we'll go back to Wyatt.
Well, that makes sense because Bobby Witt Jr. grew up in Dallas area.
There you go.
All right, third and final question, Wyatt. You get this right or Chris gets it wrong, and you are qualified for Vegas and going to see the Legion. Genesis Invitational starts this weekend. But the PGA Tour was here just 2 short weeks ago. Who won the Farmers Insurance Open?
I don't pay any attention to golf, so I gotta just hope that somehow Chris was too distracted to remember this.
All right. That's a good way of playing this one. I'm not sure what's happening with Chris, because...
God, I didn't watch it this year, hardly. I usually watch a little more of it than I did this year. It was only 2 weeks ago. Was it somebody I've even heard of, or was it just like some total no-name?
Well, you've heard of them now. Yes, they are a veteran on the tour.
Yeah. I'm going to have to just give it up to Wyatt.
Wow.
I don't even have a guess. I can't even remember at all.
I'm going to do this with so much joy.
Oh my God.
Wow. Okay, that's it. You get 4 buzzes for not guessing anything
buzzer?
At all. That means
Jeez.
That you win, Wyatt. You need to stay on the line. The actual answer was.
Give me initials.
H-E.
Old Harris English.
Harris English.
I have heard of him, but I totally forgot. Good for you, Harris. You got me on that one. That was a good one, Scraby. We've discussed this in the past as a trivia, keeper of massive information like
yes.
I am.
Yes, yes.
The stuff that I'm not as good at is the new stuff because I haven't been able to file it away in the vault yet.
I'm with you. I couldn't
it
even
works.
Remember who won the Super Bowl like 2 days ago.
You asked me who won Super Bowl V, I will tell you the Colts in less than a second. But if you ask me who won Super Bowl 53, I can't even tell you who played in Super Bowl 53.
Now I got to know who played in Super Bowl 53. Let's see.
I don't know.
Was it the... No, it couldn't have been the 49ers.
I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to tell you who played in that game.
It was Super Bowl 53. Oh, yeah, it was Eagles. No, I'm sorry. It was Patriots and Rams, a boring Super Bowl.
All right.
One of the worst.
I'm just saying. That was an example of why I don't know the newer stuff. Good job, Wyatt. And that should be a lesson to the rest of you out there. You know, I can miss the craziest question and you will win just like that.
Just like that.
But in order for that to happen, you have to try. You have to play. And that's why I give Tara a lot of credit for jumping on there today.
Yep.
And thank you to Wyatt. And good luck to you, Wyatt, on winning the big prizes over there.
All right. Chris, you are going to be headed to the Essex
women's basketball game.
But we have some stuff recorded.
We have a few things that we're still ahead for you, like the Padre Pen Pals and the Big Five. I'm telling you, the Big Five is a fantastic rendition of it today.
Chris felt like, it.
I did, and you brought a lot of good stuff to the table. So don't go anywhere. We've got all of that stuff coming up. Scraby will kind of host things for the next hour or so, and then we'll be back together for four full hours tomorrow. More Gwen and Chris after traffic, everyone.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Scraby back with you here, Odyssey Palace 97.3 The Fan. Is it still raining outside? Oh, yes, it still is raining. Everybody be careful. I'm looking at the roads. It seems like it's very slow out there. When I was driving down here, I haven't really driven in rain with my car. I've had my car for about a year and a half now, but there hasn't been a lot of rain for me to drive in. And I did one of those things today where I was going up a hill from a stoplight, and so I was starting from zero, and my tires just spun, and I was very embarrassed. I was very embarrassed about this whole thing because there was someone behind me, and they were in this manly truck, and my little SUV was just spinning its tires trying to get up this hill. I don't know why it had such a hard time with the traction, but I don't know if people have done this before where you start spinning the tires, and then you like back off a little bit off the gas, and then you do it again and they're still spinning. And so at some point you just like hope that they're going to grip it in any second. And so mine finally gripped and it went up the hill, but it was very embarrassing. I mean, I do not like when, I'm shown up by a big manly truck. I don't ever want to own a big manly truck, but my little SUV is not too bad. It's not too bad. People don't know how to drive here in the rain, by the way. I know that's not a hot take in San Diego, but it seems like you either got people that are driving 95 miles an hour in the rain or driving 35 miles an hour in the rain. But this is not the Daily Gripe segment. This is actually a segment that we're going to hear from Mike Schilt. If you are looking for spring training news, spring training content, spring training videos, then you need to go to our Twitter at 973thefansd, also Instagram, because we have so many different videos that Sam Levitt has put up on the website, and he was there this morning when Mike Schilt talked to the media for the first time since pitchers and catchers reported. But there's so many different videos. Like, he has a video of Craig Stammen working with the pitchers. And so if you're looking for baseball stuff, we have it for you there at 97.3 The Fan SD. But there was one question asked, and I'm going to start this answer halfway through because Mike Schilt was asked on finding depth for a starting rotation. He was talking about the starters. He basically said Cease, Darvish, and King are perfect, ready to go. They are number ones anywhere else, and so the first three are good. But here is what he said about some of the other guys that may take those last two spots in the rotation.
And then, you know, no particular order. You know, you've got Vasquez, who had a lot of opportunities for us last year and got better as the season went, and is clearly competing for a starting job. And then you've got, you know, Waldron. I mean, without Matt Waldron, you know, the season didn't end the way he would have liked to have. You know, he had a healthier club at the end, and we're clicking with some, you know, guys pitching well and returning. But, you know, Matt Waldrum had a six-week stretch last year that effectively kept us right in where we were, you know, looking to go. And so, you know, Matty's going to compete for that job, and, you know, Johnny Brito's going to get that opportunity as a starter. And, you know, so that'll be good. And we're going to lengthen out Stephen Kolick and give him an opportunity to start as well. And then, you know, we'll take it from there.
All right, so that is Mike Schilt on some of the guys that are going to vie for those fourth and fifth spots in the rotation. And you notice that he said Stephen Kolick there at the end. I'm going to talk more about Randy Vasquez during the Scraby Show. We also have a question in Padres Pen Pals at 5:40 about Randy Vasquez. But I think that Randy Vasquez, in a nutshell, my thoughts on Randy Vasquez, he pitched well enough last year to give him a shot for the rotation this year. Now, Stephen Kolick is interesting because I honestly didn't ever even considered stretching out Stephen Kolick, which is why I'm not a baseball coach and I'm or a baseball manager, and I'm here talking about baseball. And it's interesting to me for a couple reasons, because last year he was a Rule 5 guy, so he had to stay on the roster or else they had to send him back. He couldn't be sent down, Stephen Kolick. And Stephen Kolick had moments last year where he was pretty good. And he also had moments where he was not very good. And he ended up not pitching the rest of the season after July, I believe. But there were moments of Stephen Kolick's season last year coming in for relief that I thought was not, you know, it wasn't bad. It's the same with Randy Vasquez. And if you take out a couple starts here and there, it's not as bad as we all think it is. Like, for example, Stephen Kolick, you know, his ERA was pretty consistent. But in the month of April, he pitched 12. He appeared in 12 games through 13 innings in relief. And he had an ERA for the entire month of 1.38. So, and he struck out 12 batters during that time. So there is, now, can he do it for six innings every 5 days? I'm not sure. We'll have to see. But there is some talent in there. And when you look at some of the other stuff he did, he struggled at times. In July, 8.22 ERA in eight games. But in June, pitched nine games, a 0.68 ERA. He gave up basically nothing. I'm looking. He gave up one earned run in the month of June. So, and then in April, he gave up two earned runs. So it's there. It's there. I'm not quite going to get angry at giving Stephen Kolick a chance at the rotation, but I do think, at least right now, you have two guys that are able to be your fourth and fifth starters on opening day, which is Matt Waldron and Randy Vasquez. Now, are we going to say that they're penciled on the entire year? Absolutely not. At least with the fourth and fifth guys, you can change them up a little bit. You can maybe add a six-man rotation for a little bit in the middle of the season. But I don't know that if they do make a deal and they bring in an arm, of course I'm not going to be mad at it. But I'm not also going to be mad at them trying to use Matt Waldron and Randy Vasquez this year in the fourth and fifth spot. At least to start the year. Randy Vasquez has earned it. And again, we'll talk more about that in the Scraby Show at 6 p.m. And Matt Waldron has definitely earned it as well. And he's done a lot of work this offseason. We're actually going to hear some audio from Matt Waldron. Sammy Lev caught up with him earlier today. We'll hear some audio in the 5 p.m. Segment about that. But if we're talking Padres news right now, Stephen Kolick being stretched out is a pretty good topic, because I think that it is not as bad on face at it seems, at face value. Nate says, I'm pulling for Matty Knuckles this season. I am too. Jacob's going back to my tire spinning. Sounds like you need new tires, my guy. I might. I probably do. Year and a half on those tires. I don't want to buy new tires, though. They're so expensive. But you also can't drive anywhere without towers. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time talking this week. But there we go. That's what Mike Schilt said about some of the ancillary pitchers that are going to be competing for the rotation. He also said that there's going to be there's going to be a healthy competition, which he likes. And I agree. Hey, everybody needs a little healthy competition. You, Darvish, Michael King, and Dylan Cease know they're going to be in the rotation. But for that fourth and fifth spot, if you really want a spot on this team on opening day, you're going to have to pitch well during spring training. Someone's going to win that job. The fourth and fifth job. Someone has to pitch well enough to win that job. And that is what spring training's for. Games start next Friday on February 21st, I believe is the date. So we are almost there. Not spring training. Opening day is like a month and a half away. So Sammy Lev is out there. He's reporting everything for us. And he'll be on at 7 after the Scraby Show to tell you everything that happened today. All right, we're going to go to break. Chris is going to virtually join me back for the Big Five. We're talking about what is the next player that the Padres could retire their number? I don't know if I asked that question great, but who is the next guy you think would be worthy of the Padres retiring his number? We'll talk about that in the Big Five. Also, Cam Newton said some stuff that made Steve Smith mad. We'll talk about that as well in the Big Five. Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. Matt Scraby filling in for Chris, who's off at the Aztecs game. He'll be right back, though, with the Big Five. We have it all ready to go. It's actually one of our longer ones. It seems like when it's just me and Chris, we can't stop talking for some reason. And it was one of those days again today. So it is quite... You're not going to be... We're not cheapskates on the Big Five today. So without further ado, traffic is updated. Let's go to traffic and then a little bit of Big Five.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. It's been a busy day with the Padres being back at spring training. So we're going to talk about the Padres for 1 second, and then we're going to move on to the rest of the sports stories of the day. We got a couple NBA stories, and Chris, I think I may finally be done with Cam Newton. We'll get into that as we go along. But let's start with the Padres.
Number five.
As long as you don't adopt his wardrobe, that's fine.
I could never pull off his wardrobe. I mean, he was wearing a hat last week that looked like bird droppings were all over it. But I know it wasn't.
I honestly think he goes to the store and buys that stuff, and I think he's the only one in the store. Like, there can't possibly be anyone else there buying the same stuff.
And I'm sure these hats are not cheap. I'm sure these hats are very expensive.
Well, the place has to stay in business, and he's their only customer.
He is their only
customer. They have to charge a lot.
I'll take the frilly hat over there. Oh, my goodness. We've had that on the wall for 10 years. Yes, sir. All right.
We've been dying to get rid of that.
Yeah, we've been trying to free up space. Our guy Matt Snyder of CBS Sports wrote a very detailed article. Think about this undertaking, Chris. He wrote a very detailed article listing each Major League Baseball team's next number they're likely to retire. So that is well involved for every single team.
That's an undertaking.
For the Padres, who do you think he said, before I tell you, who he said is the likeliest next candidate for their number retired?
Well, I mean, Fernando pops right to mind, so I'll just take the easy answer and say number 23 will not be worn after Fernando is gone.
I think we're forgetting Jake Peavy. That's who Matt Snyder says is probably the next one.
Jake.
So
I have to tell you, I'm totally forgetting Jake Peavy. Absolutely, I'm forgetting Jake. He's a very good candidate for an honor like that.
All right, well, the question is, do you agree with Matt Snyder?
Yeah, I mean... You look at the impact he had on the organization, and it was a pretty darn good impact. And You know, the fact of the matter is that when PV was here, the Padres got to the playoffs three consecutive years. And, you know, weren't able to move any further. And so those teams are largely forgotten in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? When you talk about the history of the Padres, it seems like it goes from 1984 to 1998
to 2022.
To what's happened in the last 5 years. Yeah. But we forget that the early 2000s, you know, the Padres were winning the division, or they were right there. And I think they, you know, they did win the one division up in L.A. on the final weekend of the season and, you know, got to the playoffs there for 3 years when Petco Park opened. And, you know, Jake Peavy was all of that. He was a Cy Young Award winner. You know, Randy Jones's number is retired as a Cy Young Award winner. On the other hand, Gaylord Perry won a Cy Young here, and Mark Davis won Cy Youngs.
Blake Snell,
But they didn't have the same, and not even Blake. I mean, they didn't have the same impact, I don't think, on the organization as Peavy. So I think it's an inspired choice. I think it's something that they should, at the very least, the Padres ought to look into it and consider it, you know, very seriously. I think that's a very good call.
What was his number? Jake Peavy?
44.
44, yes, that's it. I was going to say, like, Joe Musgrove's going to have to find a new number.
By the way, if you're going to retire his number, you're going to have to know what number
he
wore.
No, I was just confirming it, Chris, because I was like, I'm pretty sure Joe Musgrove wears that number for Jake Peavy. I agree? I was in high school when Jake Peavy was here, and when I think Padres pitchers throughout history, I think Randy Jones and I think Jake Peavy. He definitely has the cachet to be retired and his number be retired.
You're talking about starting pitchers because, of course, you'd have to consider Trevor.
Oh, Trevor, yeah,
well.
We're talking starting pitchers, of course, yes.
Right.
So Jake Peavy, I mean, who knows when that could happen, but he did a lot of great things for San Diego. I remember watching him and seeing him rack up strikeouts and thought it was pretty cool. So
I'm going to be honest with you. The only thing that always stuck with me a little on Jake Peavy is that he finished up with the Dirty Giants, and that's better than the other. Well, right, but you know what I mean. It was just a little something about that at the very end that you know, he ended up with on the wrong uniform.
You know what Tony would say about that?
Well,
the Padres didn't want him.
No, I know.
So there you go.
No, it wasn't his fault. Oh, he didn't ask out. There's no question. He just wanted to play another couple of years. So. Max Snyder, Matt does a great job. We love having him on.
He's a researcher.
And this is why we love him. We love having him on, because he loves doing stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. Number four. Kevin Durant became...
Who did he possibly come up with for the Rockies?
I didn't even look.
Dick Monfort doesn't wear a number.
I did. Tulowitzki?
Yeah, I don't know what
or
they
Or Todd do. Helton, I mean, you know, Charlie Blackman,
yeah.
Come on. There's some guys out there. Kevin Durant became the eighth player in NBA history to score 30,000 points last night, hitting that mark with a free throw late in the third quarter of a loss to the Grizzlies last night. The 36-year-old Phoenix Suns forward, who recently was selected to his 15th NBA All-Star team, joins LeBron, Kareem, Karl Malone, Kobe, Michael Jordan, Dirk Nowitzki, and Wilt Chamberlain in the 30,000-point club. Julius Erving, according to the article, also hit that mark when combining his points scored in the NBA and the ABA. I'm up first. How are you going to remember KD down the road? I'm going to remember...
Go ahead. You're first. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Is that your food?
Yes, my food just arrived, everybody. I'm
going to
eat. Go ahead,
Scrape. Okay. How am I going to remember KD down the road? Here's how I'm going to remember him. Really, 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 really great basketball player. Injured all the time and played for too many different teams. Never forged his own path. But I will remember him mostly for how great he was on Twitter in the early part of his career, because he was really funny and his responses were hilarious to fans. And they still kind of are. He's going to obviously go down as one of the greats, but there is so many different tentacles to KD's career that I will remember before I just say he's one of the greats, you know?
Well, I think we're at the stage in his career where I don't want to say he's not a sideshow. He's still a star player.
Yeah, yeah.
Good enough to make the All-Star team. But we end up talking more about, the things that he does off the court and some of the things he, you know, the, some of the controversies he gets himself kind of embroiled in and demanding this trade and nixing that trade. So I think we're a little too deep in that right now to give him a fair analysis. But I'm looking at where Kevin Durant is going to have to rank on the all-time NBA list. And I think he's going to rank pretty favorably, Scraby. I took a moment this morning to jot down my all-time Of course I did, because I'm like Matt Snyder. I jotted down my all-time first-team NBA, second-team NBA, and third-team NBA.
You picked that many guys?
Well, it's only 15 guys. It's five on each team.
I guess you're right.
So obviously, the first team, I think, is pretty unassailable, although some people might make a change or two. But I have Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan in the backcourt. I have LeBron and Larry Bird at forward. And I have Wilt Chamberlain at center. And for those who say Wilt played before the rest of the players were athletic, I say that he played against the greatest defensive player of all time, Bill Russell, and he still scored 40 points a game.
All right.
On my second team, I have Steph Curry. I have Kobe Bryant. I have Tim Duncan. I have Dr. J. And I have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Then on the third team, I have Jerry West and Oscar Robertson. I have Elgin Baylor. I have Shaq as my third team center. And Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant belongs on that list. I really do. You could replace him with a couple of guys if you really want to. But is he not better than Dirk Nowitzki? Is he not better than Karl Malone?
What about Kobe?
Maybe Giannis.
Did you say Kobe?
Well, I put Kobe's on the second team.
Okay, second team. All right.
Oh yeah, Kobe, and plus Kobe plays a different position. So
true.
I'm talking about, you know, forwards of Durant, you know, size and ability.
Okay.
He would at least be on the third team. I think the only guy that could take him out of there right now is Giannis, but Giannis hasn't been around or accomplished enough yet to be on this list. And if Giannis ever did make it, he might kick off Elgin Baylor and keep Durant on there. Durant's, what is it, 28 points a game for 20 years?
Yeah,
I mean, he's been doing this. And you talk about guys that play for different teams. Shaq played for every team in the NBA.
That's true.
Before it was all over.
I mean,
so, you know, a lot of these guys changed teams. Wilt Chamberlain played for three or four teams. And, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played. Anyway, I'm not going to hold that against him. Although I think some people think that he bought himself a championship by going to the Warriors. Don't forget, he was the MVP of two of those championships.
True. Yeah, he was the guy.
There you have it.
Can I ask why you jotted down your 15 guys today? What made that
happen?
Because I'm
a little crazy.
Okay.
And I'm sitting in a hotel room, so I have a little extra time. And finally, because when I saw that he scored 30,000 points, the first question that came to my mind is, where does he rank all time? And I wanted to put a list together.
All right.
I did.
Well, that's a fair response. It's just our brains work very different. I was like,
yes, they do.
KD, he just
talks
trash. And
thank goodness
from
for
the
that,
bench.
Scraby.
I know.
Thank goodness our brains work different.
Yeah, that is true.
Number three.
Although Dallas Mavericks superstar big man Anthony Davis is set to miss some time due to an adductor strain, he won't need surgery. So that's the good part, the good news. But Brian Windhorst of ESPN said today, and get ready for this podcast title, Chris, the Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective podcast, he said he believes Davis has avoided surgery for good. I already said that, so I don't know why I'm repeating that part of it. However, Windhorst added that Davis will be out for a significant period of time this season, referring to the recovery timeline as weeks and weeks. So, Chris, you're up first on this one. Do you feel bad for Anthony Davis or Mavs fans?
Oh, I don't feel bad for Mavs fans right now. As a matter of fact, I'm a little tired of the Mavs fan.
You're irked?
Frankly. Yeah, I'm over it. Honestly, you know, the displays of destruction outside the arena, the setting of fires.
Yeah, we don't need
that. The supposed death threats of the general manager, although that has been called into question a little bit.
What?
Yeah, the behavior at games. And even that's been called into question now because Mark Cuban is taking a lot of a lot of flack for apparently having fans kicked out of games. And this is taking on a life of its own, for heaven's sakes.
It is getting bigger and bigger.
it really, truly is. You know, the Mavericks, to me, if Anthony Davis were to get healthy by the end of this season and get into the playoffs, I think would have an excellent chance to compete and make a run. This trade is not great for the future of the Dallas Mavericks. I get that. But, you know, they went for something crazy. And, you know, I think if you're a great fan of a team, certainly you can be disappointed and heartbroken. But to react the way they have has been a little bit over the top as far as I'm concerned. So I don't feel bad for the Dallas fans. And I do feel a little bad for Anthony Davis because I know he wants to go to Dallas and shut his own fans up by showing him what he can do.
Yeah.
And we've watched the guy for the Lakers. We know what he can do. And, you know, I think it's kind of a shame that all of his skills have been overlooked in this whole conversation.
They have. I do feel bad for both sides. I will take out all of the fans that are burning things and sending death threats. I do feel bad because some of these people are just caught in the middle. They're not going to say anything publicly. They're just going to go to their games and enjoy their team. But I feel more bad for, feel worse, I guess, for Anthony Davis because everybody is just talking so much trash about him and how he's a terrible player, how he's always injured, how he will never live up to Luka, blah, 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 blah. That is so unfair to Anthony Davis to have to be thrust into all of that. And if he did win a title, Chris, I think some of those fans still wouldn't care. That's how set they are on this whole Luka thing. And you got fans at SMU games now saying, fire Nico. Obviously, the fans that were in the stadium the other night got removed because they said fire Nico. It's just, it's very unfair to Anthony Davis to have to be the center point of all of this. He did not ask for this at all.
Anthony Davis could lead the Dallas Mavericks to the championship this year, and they could win game six on their home court. And everybody would turn around and quietly file out of the arena.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing in the world. It's so
it's
nuts.
It's really weird.
It is so strange. We are getting to a point where it's too much. Although I say, if you're a fan, voice your displeasure, but do it peacefully.
Number two.
Don't be an idiot. That's all I got to say. Speaking of idiots, I may slowly be backing away from any sort of Cam Newton take from here on out because he said something recently that made former Panther wide receiver Steve Smith pretty angry. Here's another cast, Chris. Cam Newton was on the Travis Hunter show. Yes, that's a thing. And said this about his former team.
When I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers.
How did you handle the pressure of being the top pick?
Let's put it in perspective. You're the top pick because what?
Where you play.
No. You're looking at it from a personal situation. I'm talking about from the professional situation. You're the top pick because that was the worst team in the NFL the year before. For me, I wanted to be the number one pick. You could potentially be the first pick, but bro, you have no way of impacting the game like a quarterback does. You can lock down the number one receiver. You can make impact plays on offense all you want, but it's still not like a quarterback. My issue is when I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers. Guys didn't know how to win. Guys didn't know how to prepare. It was a culture shock for me. The games don't mean a lot to a lot of people in the league like you would expect. It's just money. Not everybody has capabilities to be impact players. They're just players.
All right, that is Cam Newton. I'll give him this. He does come up with a different angle that no one else has come up with. That's what I'll give him on that, because he said in the last couple weeks things that make you actually kind of sort of think. Steve Smith tweeted this back. He had two tweets. First one was 53-man locker room minus one equals 52 losers. Wow, breaking news to 89. And then he, in a separate tweet, he said, I've watched and listened from afar as you, Cam Newton, talk about the Panthers. None of us are perfect. Yes, we were a 2-14 before you blessed us with your presence. The way you have talked about the Panthers lately, I'm very disappointed. I wish you nothing but the very best. I'm done. Peace. I'm up first. Yeah. Is Cam right or wrong? He's totally wrong on the whole part where he calls his teammates from the past losers, because not all of them are losers. He also pretty much called Travis Hunter a loser by saying, you're not a real impact player. We all knew this about Cam. I don't know why this is surprising anyone that Cam Newton loves Cam Newton. He named his kid Chosen, I believe. So this is the type of guy we're dealing with. I think that he's wrong in the entire statement. But there are truths to that. Yes, you do get drafted as a number one pick to the worst team in the league. So I don't think he's wrong there, but calling your teammates losers is a little much, in my opinion. Chris, is Cam right or wrong?
Well, first of all, you're right. He is different. But as you said, or didn't say, different does not necessarily mean correct.
Yep.
Different, a lot of times, means idiotic. And in his case, Cam Newton's an idiot. And let me just tell you something. What he just said about all of the players in his Carolina locker room when he joined the team being losers, this is coming from a man who less than 2 weeks ago said that he would rather be an MVP and win an individual award, which focuses all of the spotlight and attention on him, than win a Super Bowl ring, which is a team achievement, which is something that focuses the spotlight on 53 men and coaches and personnel and people like that.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is, as you said, he is about himself. And in my mind, if you're only in it for yourself, guess what that makes you, Cam? A loser.
I guess you could say he was a loser every year of his career because he never won the Super Bowl. I mean,
well, yeah, if you want to get that, if you want to get right down to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Like I said, I give Cam a little credit because he believes in his takes too. And, you know, some people agreed with the Super Bowl MVP one. Like Greg Camarillo kind of agreed because he thought, hey, there's only one of that and then there's a ton of other Super Bowl winners, but I don't know, you can call your former teammates losers and just expect people not to be angry.
Number one.
All right. I can't believe what I read earlier today in regards to Disney executives and some of their thoughts recently, Chris. According to sources, they have come to the conclusion their parks might be too expensive for middle-class families. Why did they wake up one day and realize this? I have no idea, but this is the actual conversation. The actual reason for the conversation is that return trips to the park are declining quickly. Basically, a family saves up for one big Disney trip, and then you either start saving again for 5 years from then or never go again because it's too expensive. So, Chris, what do you think a reasonable price for a family of four is for tickets to Disneyland? Just the tickets, just entry.
Well, you're asking somebody.
$10.
That would not pay $10 to go to Disney.
Okay, that's crazy. $10 is a steal.
Well, I'm sure it is. And I would pay $10 to take my nieces. I would take $10 to take my godson, daughter, whoever, their kids, so that I could see the joy and look on their faces.
Okay.
But myself, I would not spend more than a couple of dollars for my own ticket. I don't understand why people save up their life savings just to go to Disneyland. Or to go to SeaWorld, or to go
because kids
to
want
any
to.
Of these theme points. Yeah, you have no choice, right? The kids want to go. This is something that apparently, if they actually do lower the prices, is far overdue. And let's be honest about this. What's happening here, Scraby? The paying public has finally said enough is enough.
I love it.
And we've talked about this. If you all think that tickets to an NBA game are just ridiculous, stop going.
Yep.
Stop paying the price. You know, you can say that about a baseball team. You can say that about an NFL team. Prices are crazy. And if you think it's too much, stop going. And guess what? Eventually, we do hold the power. Because if we stop going, they will be forced to take a look at what their prices are. Any business would have to do the same thing. Even if you're selling lemonade out on the street, if you want 45 cents and everybody's driving by, guess what? You lower it to 35 cents and everybody stops for a cup of lemonade. You found your price point.
But Chris, that doesn't put money in my pocket for no work.
Well, I'm sorry, Stan. Okay. You're just going to have to.
You know what I have to say about your answer? This.
What? Thank you.
I couldn't have said it better, to be honest. I thought you were channeling me right there. I think it's hilarious that Disneyland is finally realizing that $1,000 for one day at your park is a little much. I think, you know, a reasonable price for a family of four, $400, $100 per ticket. Or you could say, like,
$150
for the parents and then, like, $50 for the kids.
Wasn't I terrible? Why do the parents cost more, by the way?
Well, because adults
always
cost more.
Don't go on any of the rides.
That's
they
not
got
true.
It all back.
That's
they
not
have
true.
It all backwards. I
you
would
have to
I
go with your
fair,
kids.
I think a fair price is $125 for four, and that includes parking.
That was like the price in 1962. Includes parking, Chris. You just sucked $80 a car out of the Disneyland funnel.
You know what? The last time I remember going to Disneyland, this is a really crazy story to me. But it's not the last time I went, but it was maybe the early 1990s, okay? And a friend of Lori's, actually, by the name of Darla, she worked for the Padres at one point, and she was friends with a former Padre player named Joey Cora. Now, he has been a coach. I think his brother, Alex Cora, has been the manager of the Red Sox, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Joey Cora came up with the Padres. So Darla was friends with Joey. Joey got traded to the White Sox. The White Sox were playing the Angels. Darla wanted to go up to the game. My wife couldn't go. I went, and a few other people, we all went up to watch Joey Cora on a Saturday afternoon play against the Angels. The game's over. We're talking outside the clubhouse, and Joey Cora goes, "I want to go to Disneyland." And it's about 5 in the afternoon. I'm thinking to myself, there is no way I am agreeing to go to Disneyland because I'm not paying whatever the price is to get into Disneyland. And the price at that time was $27. And I thought, ridiculous.
$27?
That's all it was at the time, $27. But thankfully, the major leaguer, Joey Cora, footed the bill for all of us. And I was okay.
Wow. Joey Cora for the win. The mayor of Disneyland.
Win. Joey that's
Cora.
Right.
All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, I will update you on everything that has happened today from Padres spring training. So stick with us. We'll be back shortly. 97.3 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.